You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And we welcome you to the third hour of our program. We're delighted that you could join us on a Friday afternoon. Our next guest 2 weeks ago was in Houston getting ready for the national championship. A week ago, he was flying to Tuscaloosa to become the new Alabama coach, and he joins us today. And I can't imagine you've had any more eventful 12 days in your life, including being married and having children. Coach, congratulations, and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a whirlwind, but it's been a fun time from the championship game to this opportunity, my family and I. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, Paul.
Well, we're delighted. And I know there's so much work that you have to do and have already done, but And I know there's not time to process, but I mean, there's so many things that have happened. How have you lived through this experience, and what has it been like?
Yeah, I mean, just one day at a time, you know, and enjoying the moments, enjoying the journey, whether it's preparing for a semifinal game, a championship, you know, you work to get into those moments. And so, you know, you don't have necessarily a chance to enjoy it, but you know it's special, and you pour everything into it. And now this opportunity as well, you know, one day at a time, and you wake up, you roll up your sleeves and you go to work, and you put great people around you, and, you know, you trust and believe that you got what it takes. And we're excited about what this future lies. These kids here in this program are special, and it's been awesome getting to meet them over the last few days.
We just showed your arrival late last Friday night. I know you knew about Alabama. That goes without saying. You were playing at a premier school that just played for the national championship. But that had to be an amazing experience to see that many people out on a cold Friday night to say hello.
Yeah, it just shows the support. And, you know, I think football and football at Alabama, it brings people together. And I don't know if they were expecting to come together at that place on a Friday night a couple weeks ago, but they were. And it meant a lot for my family and I. And it was a great way to kick off our time here.
Coach, you were the National Coach of the Year. You played for the championship. Can you take us through your thought process when you got the word that you were under consideration, and Greg Byrne told us Wednesday that he came out with his wife to meet you and your wife?
Yeah, you know, you're always honored just to be in the same breath as other coaches, whether it's a coach of the year, and, you know, just to be recognized that way as someone that someone wants. But, you know, I just kept working with my own team, you know, and that's where I was at. And I've always believed you work where your feet are at. And I did that. And then getting a chance to meet with Greg and just hear his vision and everything that he was excited about here in the program. You know, just I could tell it aligned with what I was looking for, and all the history and tradition here at Alabama. Wow. I mean, you know, I don't care what side of the country you're on. You know all about it.
Coach DeBoer, what was your first conversation with Coach Saban like, and what can you share with us?
Well, I actually called him right when, you know, I was taking the job. And, you know, it was just really cool hearing how humble he was, you know, talking about even Coach Bryant, you know, and how he was trying to build on top of that. And you can certainly tell that he just wants this program to continue to take the steps forward. And that's what, you know, that's what the great opportunity is for us, is to build on the foundation he's left. And he's left a great foundation, not just with the players in this program, but everything that's been built up to support them. And, you know, I always want to make sure he knows he's welcome here. He's always going to be a critical piece of this program's history and tradition. You know, I'm going to force him to, you know, make sure he gives me one or two tips and pointers every time he walks on the practice field to come watch us. But I'd be pretty foolish not to have you know, a legendary coach like Coach Saban here helping us with that, whatever he's got.
Ken, and I realize, you know, some conversations are private and some situations are confidential, but can you give us some sense already in this very, very short period what Coach Saban has been able to help you with or advise you with?
I know that every time I've called him, he's picked up the phone, and it's been quite often. I know he's – I'm trying to give him some space and let him enjoy his time, but I know he – again, he sees my number come in and knows that I'm looking for maybe a little bit of advice or just talk through something, and he's just been awesome in every way, and, you know, he's, you know, gonna continue to do that. I can just feel that's what he's all about.
We're talking to Coach Kalen DeBoer. Coach, the first thing you have to do is talk to the team. You have to figure out your staff. I know that's a complicated process, but you did have about a 5.5 hour flight to think about it. So what take us through your first couple of days? You had to put the staff together. Are you pretty comfortable with that, first of all?
Yeah, you know, we're getting close. We're not there all the way, but we got an extremely talented staff, a good mix of people I've worked with those that are very familiar with the SEC and have either coached here or know the area well. So I'm excited about the style of play we'll have. We'll continue to attack, you know, both sides of the ball, and just a group that I know, you know, their personalities, their egos get pushed off to the side, and we'll always do its better betterment of the team. But just am excited. Again, we're not quite there yet, but they're a very talented group.
Coach, there are so many issues facing college athletics, and one that we hear from fans are about they're not happy about the portal opening, and Alabama players can leave. Obviously, you'll get your chance in the spring, but what has that been like? Certainly, a lot of attention has been placed on some very key players leaving the program.
Yeah, sure. I was just through this 2 years ago. And this is a much better situation than even that one was, with a number of players leaving. And, you know, you just stay the course and you roll up your sleeves, like I said earlier. And there's such a great group of leaders here in this program that want to uphold the standard of Alabama football. And they are sticking together. And we want those guys that want to be here. They're working through all the noise that's out there. And I just couldn't be more proud of them sticking together, them being intentional on, you know, communicating with themselves and trying to keep it to tight and keep it together. A lot of these guys, they came here to leave a legacy, you know, to build on a legacy, but also leave a legacy. And, you know, they look at it as their job's not done. You know, there's unfinished business with what they accomplished, whether it's this year or the years past. And so we're really looking forward to locking arms as a team, as a staff, and you know, continue to just work with the guys that are here. I really feel like we're in a great spot. We just got to stay the course.
Coach, you mentioned noise, and that happened when you joined the staff at Washington. It's always going to happen because transitions are difficult, especially when you're coming from a different part of the country. But is there a message that you have, not only to your own team, but to fans who read things in nanoseconds and start to wonder, like, where are we? What's going on?
Yeah, I think it's just the world we live in right now. I mean, you know, when you have change there and transition, there's going to be change with everything that's around the program. I mean, a lot of these programs are going through changes without transition of head coaches. So I just look at it and naturally you expect that this is going to happen to some extent. And, you know, we'll get the right people in the program, whether it's staff, whether it's players. And, you know, this is a place that has got the best facilities, the best resources in the entire country. And we are able to support the great players that come in here with all of that. And I think that, you know, our guys and I would tell the fans as well to, you know, be excited about the staff we're bringing in and what we're going to be capable of doing. I'm really not alarmed at all.
Coach, on a more personal note, as we close down, fans want to know everything about everything connected to the head coach, including your wife and children. We saw your wife on Saturday. Tell us a little bit about Nicole and your children. I know one is a very good athlete.
Yeah, I got my wife, Nicole. We've been married 22 years, made a few moves, right, along the way. And you don't do this job without having someone that just supports you in every way and allows you to go to work and just pour yourself into these players, into this staff and the program. And then two daughters, and they are, you know, one's finishing high school and the other's in sixth grade, Alexis and Avery. So again, they love football. They love supporting the team, the players, and again, wouldn't do this without their support.
Coach, I realize it's a busy time. It means a lot that we could have you here for a few minutes, and all the very, very best, and we hope to see you soon.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It is our pleasure. Coach DeBoer making his first appearance here, discussing the last couple of weeks. We'll take a short break, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back as we get more phone calls here and some reaction to what has been going on. Johnny B. is first up.
Man, I'm glad you let me follow the coach. I wasn't sure today if I was watching Dr. Phil, The Lifestyle, or Hallmark, or your show. I was pilfering through my medical records to see if I had anything to talk about, and then, you know, you had the coach on, and I hope he's still listening, because I want to speak out for people like me, you, and him. We're bald men. Bald men are smarter and far superior and better lovers, and I got so tired of watching Saban cling to them hairs and dye them and spray his head tan and everything. And I'm telling you, if he'll go to Walmart and get him some clippers and buzz them 12 little bangs off, he's going to be a lot better recruiter, because if you go in some kid's house, it's like going in there and a woman's got some cleavage, they're going to be looking at that. If you go in a woman's house and you got, or a recruit's house, and their mama and everybody's there, they're going to be looking at them 8 hairs you're hanging on to. Buzz that off. You'll never look gray. You'll be sexy. You're going to impress the mama, and then the recruits will come. That's all I got to say. Good luck, Coach. Paul, you're the best. I love y'all. Happy Friday.
Chris is up next. Hello, Chris. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. What a wild week and a half, huh?
Indeed. Thank you for calling.
Well, I got something that I think is going to jibe with the caller, with Alex especially, but I'm glad that you had Coach DeBoer on here, and congratulations to him for winning the Gene Stallings Award. I thought that was really apropos and kind of a good sign. I'll tell you, the last week, you know, we have a lot of family, as y'all know, from all over, different fans, and everybody, as soon as the news came out about Coach Saban retiring, I mean, my phone was lighting up. My nephew was the first one to contact me, was like, I just heard this, and everybody's been asking, okay, how y'all doing? Right? And I said, well, my response was, well, I'm holding strong, but the missus is touch and go. You know, she's it hit her pretty hard, but you know, one of the things that I was thinking about this week, because you know, my time here at Alabama and me living in Alabama kind of jibed with, you know, when Saban won or when Stallings won the national championship. So I was here for, and I was a fan for all the years of the, you know, the coaches in between the Stalling and Saban eras. And, you know, when Coach Saban came in, I remember that everything was different. It was like that when, you know, when I came to Alabama, when I moved to Alabama, it was right before Mercedes announced that they were going to put a plant there in Vance. And so that changed everything. And then, you know, winning the national championship in 92 changed a little bit. But, you know, when Saban landed, you know, Tuscaloosa, the fortunes of Tuscaloosa rise and fall with the university and specifically with the football team. And when Coach Saban landed, everything changed in an instant, even before he had done anything there and had proven out, you know, what everybody now looks and goes, oh, yeah, it was obvious. It wasn't back then. You know, 2007, you know, Rich Rodriguez had turned it down, right? And people were concerned, oh, nobody would want to come there. And now it's a much different thing. But I remember that. So I had my own business at that time. And, you know, when things are not going well in town, people didn't want to pay for, you know, IT, you know, information technology services at all. And I remember that, you know, as I was running my business, I had an opportunity to go to a talk that was given by Robert Witt, who was the president of the university starting in about 2003. And a lot has been made about, you know, Saban and the secret to his success being recruiting and the recruiting operation that he built at Alabama, which, I dare say from where it was to where it is, you know, since he left, obviously this last few days have been rough. But, you know, regardless, you know, I dare say it ranks up there with some of the greatest recruiting operations in the history of college sports, period.
No doubt, Chris. But thank you very, very much for the call. Good to have you on the air. David is up next. Hello, David.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Just wanted to make a comment and a couple observations. But Nick Saban won his first national championship in 2009.
Okay.
And that was with recruiting classes from Mike Shula. So basically, Nick did go in there with a stable that was empty. And my comment is that Kevin DeBoer is not going in there with a stable that is empty, regardless of who is left through the transfer protocol.
Well, David, let me jump in. There were a couple of players recruited by, but he also brought in Julio Jones and a few players that made a significant difference in the national championship. Thanks for the call. Shirley is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Shirley.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. Happy New Year to everyone. You have looked positively smashing in your GQ worthy attire these past several weeks.
Well, thank you.
You are welcome.
I'm leaving this job at the end of the month to become a male model.
Absolutely. Over the past several weeks, I have pondered about the situation at the University of Alabama, and my conclusions might be summarized as follows. The Alabama Crimson Tide football program is different from the transient nature of most things in American culture. This is a phenomenon. This is a cultural, historical icon that numerous people have built, from Coach Bryant through Coach Saban to various associates that have worked namelessly and tirelessly within the corridors, to the elite athletes that have labored. And the future for this American and cultural icon, with its roots so firmly embedded within the region, will be extraordinarily bright. Coach DeBoer is a National Coach of the Year. He is not going to fail. Failure is not an option. Best wishes and good luck, Coach DeBoer.
Thank you very, very much. Adira is up next in Florida. Hello, Adira. Good afternoon.
Hi. How you doing, Paul? How are you, Paul? How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. So this is just kind of, I just want to give to all the fans. I'm really big with the Alabama fans here in Jacksonville, Florida. And it's just a lot of, like, negative like energy right now as far as like with the players transferring to the portals and everything that's going on. And it's just been a lot of like naysayers that's been going around saying, well, Paul is talking about Alabama, they don't want Alabama to proceed. And I told everybody, I said Nick Saban was not going to be around Alabama for a long time, so I don't really know what anybody expects. I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, we all have to be adults about the situation. So just a word to all the fans, just stay the curve, trust the process, let DeBoer come in and do his thing. I know a lot of people are worried about the players transferring, and they're saying that Alabama is not going to do a good job this year. But, I mean, you look at it, when Nick Saban first started at Alabama, his first year he went 7-6. The next following year he went 12-2. And I received a letter from Nick Saban and Terry Saban, and they literally gave me the opportunity because I really wanted to coach football. As a young black female, I wanted to coach football. And I reached out to Nick Saban and Terry Saban, and they wrote me a letter back, and they said that, you know, we look forward to seeing you. And this was 10 years ago. This was 10 years ago. And here I am in Jacksonville, Florida, finally coaching at a high school. I'm literally making a difference, but it was because of what Nick Saban and Terry Saban say to me. So I just wanted to just let all the Alabama fans and all the players trust the process. The Crimson Tide will not be denied. Just keep that faith, keep the hope, and let's keep going for the next 17 years and just keep the that Nick Saban built for the 17 years that he was there. Let's just keep it going, and let's just trust the process and believe in what DeBoer and his staff is going to do for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Adira, thank you very much, and all the best in your career. We appreciate it. Let's take a short break. It's been a busy half hour with Coach DeBoer and your phone calls, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. It has been a busy day for the University of Alabama football program, losing its number one recruit from the 24 class, Julian Sand, the number one quarterback in the country, heading to the portal. No idea exactly where he is going to go. That comes on top of Caleb Downs, the number one player from last year, and Cade Proctor, the number one offensive lineman in the country. Rarely has any team lost five stars of that quality in a short period of time. We had the coach on earlier this hour. He said, I am not alarmed. Jamie is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Jamie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Know you're doing well.
Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. My brother and I listen to you every day and call back and forth. But what I'd like to say is I understand a lot of these guys are leaving Alabama, and they're leaving for NIL money or whatnot, and I get that to a degree. But I just got to believe that the players that stay, the ones we get, It's going to set us back losing all these players, but the ones that stay in and going to get, I think they're going to work hard, and they're going to have something to prove, and I think they're going to be bought into the Alabama standard.
Well, thank you very, very much, and your brother. Glenn is up next. Good afternoon, Glenn. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, I just want to speak on this Alabama and Nick Saban deal. You know, as long as Alabama was winning, you couldn't shut the fans up. Now that they potentially have a chance of losing when they lost Nick Saban, you still can't shut them up. And, you know, it's like, what do you think about when Nick Saban in the University of Alabama was stockpiling all these players down there at the University of Alabama? How you think they got them players? The same way, in my opinion, the same way as this NIL is making the board level across so that Alabama can't stockpile all the players down in Tuscaloosa. You know, I wish they would just stop crying. Nick ain't dead. He's just scared.
Well, Glenn, thank you. I think you have just given us the preview of the next 6 months on this program. You be well. You take care of yourself. And let's check in with Brad, who is in Macon, Georgia. Hey, Brad.
Mr. Paul, how are you, brother?
Doing well. Thank you.
I mean, you interview with Bohr. I'm a Georgia fan, but, you know, you interviewed him. It's a great interview, especially the latter part when you asked him about his family, because everybody wants to know something personal, but not invasive, about where they come from and their family and all that. So kudos to you for that. But the guy just oozes quality. And I don't think Alabama could have done a better job. Even you throw Dan Lanning in there, I still think they got the right guy.
Well, Brad, he's got a chill factor, which is very infectious. You know, he's not a guy that is going to knock you over with a bunch of Eli Drinkwitz jokes.
True.
Right now he has only one concern, and that's getting his staff and maintaining his team. And that question that came up, I mean, he said, "I'm not alarmed." What else could he say?
Yeah.
I'm pulling my remaining hairs out because I just lost the best quarterback in the country. I mean, it was a smart answer, because you don't want to give the media and the naysayers anything to wrap your arms around. And I felt like he came on. I think he wanted to try and calm his fan base down.
Well, and you know something, as far as the other quarterback goes, he's got his quarterback coming to town.
He's bringing the guy he recruited. You're right.
That's correct. And he's smart enough coach where he sees the quality in the guy he recruited. So that's a big deal for Alabama to get this guy coming down that's going to come over and compete for a starting job. That quarterback may be a four-star, but I'm telling you, he's a very quality athlete, because the coach – he does recruit well, and he knows what he's doing. But having said that, man, Sark and Norvell, man, they're pulling their wallets out for these Bama players.
I mean, it's and I think, too, that's something you have to adjust to. I mean, this is a guy, recruiting at Washington is not like recruiting at the University of Alabama. Hey, thank you for the call. Dwayne is up next. What do you got, Dwayne?
Hey, Paul, I'm calling back for the final time for the day.
Hey, tell me this, okay? Before you get you have to be impressed with Coach DeBoer, right?
No, I ain't. We're going to get him. We're going to dog him out. We're going to dog him out. We're going to bomb on him. Almost every team in the SEC is going to bomb on him. We're going to bomb it out. They're like Jalen Merrill. You know, like Jalen Merrill like to throw the deep bomb? That's how the mother team and the conference is going to do him now. He got no corners, no safeties back there. We're going to bomb on him. Hey, but I ain't called back for that. I called back for this. Hey, we ain't worried about Alabama no more, y'all. We're worried about Kirby Smart now. We got to get Georgia. We got to beat on Georgia, y'all.
Hey, Dwayne, you're trying to get in the upper echelon. You're not there yet, okay?
Well, we gotta get Georgia. We gotta get Georgia now, Paul. We don't worry about Alabama no more. They out the
prison. No, you need to worry about you need to worry about Alabama. They're still around.
No, they ain't.
And do you know, Dwayne, you look back at the last 30, 40 years, Alabama has owned you guys.
What? Man, that's gone. That history, man. That's history now. Hey, we're going to see who. Hey, Paul. Hey, I don't know how long you're going to be on that TV show right there. We're going to see who in the next 10 years. We're going to see who in the next decade. Now, you're talking all that noise over there and I know you're a Knicks fan. I know you're crying over there. Yeah,
Dwayne, can I make a confession to you? I have not slept in a week and a half.
Man, that's crazy.
I crawl up in the fetal position every night.
I mean, literally not
to sleep because I can't sleep. But
oh, man, golly, man, that's wrong. Y'all wrong for that, man. Y'all ain't like the man dead. The man down six.
Well,
six,
I mean, I know he's got a lot of life left, but it doesn't really affect the program anymore. So it feels like he's gone.
It's gone, but the thrill is gone, baby. Alabama is gone. Your history, the thrill is gone. Now, bye.
Man, you're going one of the great songs of all time there. The thrill is gone. Let's continue with Riley in Phoenix. Hey, Riley.
Hi there, Paul. Just a little bit of context. My mom went to Alabama. My stepdad went to Washington. So I've seen both sides of reactions to Coach DeBoer leaving for Tuscaloosa. And I just wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit. See, following up Coach Saban, it's a big task for anybody. Do you think that Coach DeBoer has a shorter leash than if he were to have left Washington for anywhere else in the country? Do you think he's got 4 or 5 years to build some, or do you think they're going to be expecting greatness right off the bat?
Riley, he left a great job where he had an endless runway. He doesn't have that anymore because Alabama is a different place, and it's hard to make a prediction because you know he's a very competent and capable coach. I mean, that's self-explanatory, but I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm not trying to give you some vague answer, but we'll know quickly how he adapts, how he adjusts. He's been there exactly a week. And, I mean, his job is to maintain the players on his team, to go out and recruit, maintain a coaching staff, and not try to do anything else. And we're appreciative that he would come by today and talk to us. We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome all of you back here on what has been a fairly active week. So let's continue with more phone calls. Chris is up next in Alabama. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Thank you.
I have a couple of comments that I wanted to make. Number one, I want to thank you for having Coach DeBoer on, and I want to thank him for taking the job and having the courage to be the man that follows the man. That's the first thing. And then the second comment is to all of the doubting – naysayers of Alabama football, all of these people that have forecast the demise of the dynasty. You need to check your facts and look over history. For the last 100 years, since the 1920s, do you realize there's only been two decades that we didn't win a national title in? Let me tell you what that means, folks. That means we're not a ship passing in the night. We're the lighthouse of college football.
I don't know what happened to Chris, but anyway, we were having a good conversation. What he said was Alabama is not a ship passing in the night. We are the lighthouse of college football. Derek is up next in Texas. Hello, Derek.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, I just want to say I love your show, and Roll Tide.
Thank you for saying that.
I've been an Alabama fan for 57 years, ever since I come into this world. But I just, you know, all the players that are leaving Alabama, if they don't want to be there, you know, they need to go where they want to go. But I just want to ask you your opinion on the transfer. If the NCAA would go back to making these players sit out a year, don't you think it would stop all the nonsense that is going on with all the transferring?
Yeah, probably would, Derek. But, I mean, right now that organization is so backwards that, I don't think college football is going to crash and burn. In fact, I think it's going to get more exciting, but it will continue to be chaotic. And a day like today, when you think about the amount of time Nick Saban's staff put into landing the best quarterback in the country, and a coach has been there 1 week and the guy says, I'm done. It's just, you can say whatever you want. Now, I thought Coach DeBoer said all he could say. We're not alarmed. I would be alarmed. But on the other hand, he got a quarterback that he feels comfortable with. But, you know, comfort and difference makers are two different things. Nobody thought Michael Penix was going to lead a team to the national championship game, and he did. So there are a lot of factors here. But anyway, let's check in next with Callie in Georgia. Callie, you're on the air. Hello, Callie.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show.
You bet.
I just wanted to say that I'm an Auburn fan, and I wanted to know if you saw any comparison between the Alabama hire to Brian Harsin.
Well, they both come from the Dakotas. I guess that is a similarity, and they're both very serious-minded people who have coached in another world other than Alabama. And I think that's always the key. And Harsin's credentials got him the job, but his inability to adapt is what caused him to fail. And that is what DeBoer has to avoid.
Right. Well, we were just curious what your thoughts were on that, and we just wanted to say War Eagle.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I like Harsin. I still like him. But he just simply did not adapt to recruiting in the SEC, which you can interpret any way you want. I don't know what Coach DeBoer is going to be like. I mean, think about there are a lot of aspects of recruiting. Yeah, the money matters, but the personal relationships also matter. I've been on recruiting trips with coaches before, and when that coach goes into a home, he has to be able to connect with the parents, especially the mother. And ultimately, that's what determines so often, because there's money for all these players. It's not like Alabama is not going to be able to take care of what some player is looking for compared to someone else. Larry is up next. Larry from Shelby.
Hey,
good afternoon.
Man, what's up?
Hey there.
Hey, man. Yeah, I've been kind of sickly. I may probably hard to listen to, but I'll try to get through it.
We're glad you made it.
Pulmonary doctor appointment Monday, and I find out what's really going on, hopefully. But, anyways, about football. Yeah, man, that 30-day portal, and it let the dust settle. I heard a few good names. Freddie Roach is on staff. I like him. And I heard that new coach's record was 104-14, I believe. That's not a bad record. But I think we, you know, we got a couple of players that stood up for Bama, and that's the way it is, brother. You ever heard of saying, follow the money?
I have heard
exactly
that.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Their parents probably had a lot to do with it, too. I mean, if you could get $300,000, wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, but you know it and I know it, Larry. Alabama can go, can hunt with the big dogs.
Yeah, yeah, they
it's just a matter of – but again, I mean, I'm distressed a little bit by the fact that some of these players have gone in the portal so quickly.
Yeah.
Because they have time. They have another 3 weeks. But clearly – and that's a concern. And, you know, while Coach DeBoer said he wasn't alarmed, I would be.
I don't think he's got his coaching staff and
well, no, I mean, he's and it's hard to put all that together in a compressed period of time.
You know that.
But losing, I mean, losing Downs and losing the quarterback are a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. But you know what? If you ain't got your heart on a team, you might as well go, yes, on.
Well, but yeah, and by the way, when those guys decide where they're going, it will make it easier to understand.
I don't want him out. I don't want him there.
Okay.
I wouldn't even take him back. He said, hey, I'll change my mind. I said, nah, hell no. Just get your ass over there with Georgia, whoever you're going to play with. He didn't impress me anyways.
Who are we talking about, Larry?
Good. I tell you what, we got the center from Washington and one of the linemen, and I'd rather have a lineman and a center than I had a safety. So you
well,
think about
well, Larry,
that.
If you're telling me you don't think losing Caleb Downs is a big deal, then you must have missed the college football season at Alabama.
What can you do about it, Brian?
Well, I'm not saying you can do anything about it, but don't act like the guy wasn't
an
amazing player.
It's not a big deal. I know it is. But he's got his coaching staff together, and I'm cheering for a different guy. And
that's okay. The quarterback, there's no way of knowing. I mean, I've seen plenty of misses on quarterbacks, although I also have talked to a number of people who said this guy is a generational quarterback who just left. We'll take a break. We still have an hour to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.